Today's shiur is Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid, which actually this is a Mishnah that we've referenced in our shiur already. It says the Mishnah, Zeba B'Chavitai, Zeba B'Karasai. One person is carrying his pitcher and another person is carrying a beam. The Nishbara Kadosh Shalzah, the Karasa Shalzah, this person's pitcher broke by banging into this person's beam, potter. They're both potter. Shalzah Yesh Rishus L'Halach, Shalzah Yesh Rishus L'Halach. They both have permission to walk in the Rishus, in this Rishus. Since they both have permission to walk here, one should not be held more responsible. So the Meiri explains that the Mishnah is referring that the people in our Mishnah, he says, are walking side by side. And since they're walking side by side, and that's how they banged into each other, and that's why they're potter. That the Rashi goes on to say that the reason in the case of our Mishnah that they're potter is because they both contributed to this situation. And since they both contributed to this situation, one is not any more responsible than the other. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that this point that we just made, that they both had permission to walk there, is a critical element to the discussion of this, to our discussion. Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that since they both walk together and we can't attribute the damage to one more than to the other, that's why they're both potter. But in a case where it's not that way and we could definitely attribute the damage more to one than to the other, the halacha, of course, would be a bit different. However, therefore, says the Mishnah, Haibal Kaira Rishon, the person carrying the beam was walking in front, and the person carrying the pitcher was behind him, and the pitcher broke by connecting to that beam. Then the halacha is part of Al-Kaira. The person who is carrying the beam will not be held responsible, because we could assume that the person who was carrying the beam was walking at a normal speed. The person who was carrying the pitcher was walking too quickly, and because he was walking too quickly, that's why his pitcher broke, and therefore the Baal Kaira will not be held responsible. That's the way Rashi explains. The Nemuka Yosef says that the Pshat in the Mishnah, and this is very much in line with what we just discussed, that what happened here in the Mishnah is that in the previous case, they both were equally responsible for what happened. In a case where they're both equally responsible for what happened, that's when the halacha says that they're both potter. Here, says the Mukhi Yosef, the person carrying the pitcher is the one that's responsible, and not the one that carried the kaira didn't do anything wrong, and that's why he should not be held responsible, says the Mishnah. However, then Amad Bal Kaira, if the person carrying the beam stopped, then Chayiv, then the person who carried the beam will be held responsible for the damage, because he shouldn't have stopped. He shouldn't stop standing in Rishus Rabin. Then Amar, however, if he told the person behind him, Lebal Chavis, if he told the person standing behind him that's carrying the pitcher, Amoid, stop, then Potter, he will be Potter, because even though he stopped, since he gave this person behind him adequate warning, he will not be held responsible. What about the reverse situation, says the Mishnah? Hoy Bal Chavis Rishon, if the person carrying the pitcher was walking up front, or Bal Kaira Achron, and the person carrying the beam was behind him. The Nishbar Chavas Bekaira, and the beam broke the pitcher, Chayiv. Then the person walking behind will be held responsible, because again, we assume that the person walking up front was walking at a normal speed. The person walking behind him was walking too quickly, and that's why there was this altercation. However, the Mamad Baal Chavis, if the person carrying the pitcher up front stops suddenly, then the person carrying the beam from behind will be potter. However, the Mamad Baal Kaira, if he gave him proper warning, the person with the beam up front, or the person with the beam behind, the person with the pitcher up front told the person with the beam behind him, Amoid, stop, because I'm going to stop, then the halacha is chayiv. Continues the Mishnah, the cain, the same din will be, Zebab and Neira, one person is carrying a candle, the Zebab and Pishtanai, and the other one is carrying linen. This, again, all the halachas, as we just discussed, will be applicable there. So, of course, the question is, why did the Mishnah have to tell us this halacha? Why would we say pishtan, linen, and fire should be any different? So, the Tosfos Yontov explains that since linen is extremely flammable, so therefore we can make an argument that maybe the person carrying the candle should have been more careful, maybe the person carrying the linen should have been more careful. Therefore, the Mishnah says that even in this case, the halacha is that the same halacha applies. Another pshat is that when we talk about a pitcher and a beam, so they both contribute to the damage. But when we talk about fire and linen, an argument perhaps could be made that really all of the damage is being caused by the person who's carrying the fire. And therefore, it should be not the same. It teaches us the Mishnah that even in this case, the halacha is the same as we just mentioned. Says the Gemara, "Goodbye, my name Rabbi Bar Nosma Rafuna. Hamazak ishta b'tashma shemitai. If somebody during having relations with his wife caused her harm, maha, what will be halacha? Do we say kiyum the brishus covered? What he did with permission. A husband obviously is allowed to have relations with his wife. Potter, so then he won't be held responsible. The boy a dumma, a boy leuni." You should be careful and you should watch out what's happening before you do something and may cause damage. Amalei, so you answer to Nisua. We learned in our Mishnah that when two people are walking into Shusarabim and they damage each other, and the way we learned the Mishnah is that we refer to a situation where they're walking side by side. The halach is that the potter, and the explanation the Mishnah gave was because this person has the right to walk here, and this person has the right to walk here. So, ostensibly, the same ought to be by a husband and wife. A husband and wife are both participating in something that they're allowed to participate in, and since they're both participating in something that they're allowed to participate in, that's why the halacha should be that there's no problem. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kavachomer, Umayar, when we speak about a forest, and the Torah Kedosha speaks about the forest in the setting of somebody who killed somebody else, the Shogig. Now, when we speak about a forest, they both have, both the person who was the murderer and the victim had every right to be in that yar. Nasa commissioner, still the Torah treats it. Nasa commissioner, the Torah treats the murderer as if he's a person that walked into somebody else's property and killed him. And that's why he's chayv golus. Zeh, so certainly where this woman went to shus chaveri nichnas, like koshkein, so where she was in his property, he went into, I would use a modern word, he went into her personal space. shouldn't he be chayiv for any damage he does to her? Ella Hoktani, says the Gemara, the reason the Balakaira is not obligated to pay for the Balakhavis, so what we see here is that wherever we have a situation that they have a right to be here, since they both have a right to be here and do what they're doing, that's why in such a situation the halacha is the potter. When we speak about the situation of somebody who did damage during an act of tashmish, so the mefarshim are bothered with a question that we discussed many times, and that is, why is this not considered an oinus? And although, indeed, the opinion of the Ramban is that whenever we have a situation of an oinus, the halacha is that Adam Mu'ud La'olam is still responsible, but we still have the opinion of Tosfos that says that whenever we have a situation of an oinus gomer, the halacha is that even by an Adam who does damage, he's going to be potter. So why isn't this considered such a situation? So Ivan Ozel explains that, and the Meiri actually categorizes that this is not an oinus. The Meiri categorizes this as a shogig. And as we're learning, there's a difference between an oinus and a shogig. An oinus is an argument that can be made that a person is not chayiv by an oinus. There's nobody that would hold that by a shogig he's potter. Why is it considered a shogig? So the Evan Ezel says that a person, as he does tashmish with his wife, has to be sensitive in recognizing that he could hurt her. And if he didn't pay proper attention, we can't call that an oinus. So the Gemara says that they both are participating in something that they're allowed to do. So why should that make a difference? So he says, so the Evan Ozel says that that's exactly what the Gemara question is. The fact that both participating willingly, is that a reason that we should consider it an oinus, or it shouldn't make a difference? Another pshat that I saw for Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal and the Yael Sashachar, he wants to suggest that since a wife is obligated to do tashmish with her husband, so maybe, it's an interesting approach, maybe since she's obligated to do tashmish with her husband, that creates a situation that he has a right, that creates a situation that if he did something like this, then it would be considered an oinus. Says the Gemara, since they both have a right to be there, that's why it should be different. Says the Gemara, Hasam, but we can't compare the two situations. Hasam, when we speak about the two people who are carrying something in the Rishus HaRabim, there, Tavai Kadodi Ninu. They both are the same. So the way Tosfos explains, what does it mean that they're both the same? They both, to a degree, participated in the barrel, in the pitcher being broken. They connected to each other, they knocked into each other, and that's why they're considered partners, and that's why we could be more lenient. Hacha, but when we speak about our case, when the husband doing damage, hurting his wife during tashmish, he's the entire active party, and she is not the active party, so the two situations are not the same. Along the lines that we've been learning in our shir from Mrs. Zalman Zatzal and Evan Ozel, I think what the Gemara means to say is that in this case, since he is the active participant, it's his responsibility to make sure that nothing happens. And if he doesn't do that properly, he should maybe be held responsible. Says the Gemara, or ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that that is what the way we look at it? The pasuk says that if a man and a wife, a man and a woman, participate in an act of immorality, so we see that they both get punished. So how can we say that it's only the man that's the participant? The woman is very much a participant as well. Otherwise, why would the Torah say that she also gets karis for doing an aveira? Answers the Gemara, and the way the Rishonim and Achronim explain this Gemara, there are two aveiras in the Torah that the punishment is not for the act. The punishment is for the enjoyment of the act. One is when somebody eats food that he's not supposed to eat, and one is when one participates in an act where he's an act of relations that he's not allowed to participate. There, the aveira is not the actual aveira. The aveira is the pleasure that was derived. And therefore, even though if we're not going to say that she is the active participant in this aveira, but she had hanor, and that's enough that she should get chorus. But as far as the aveira is as far as the act is concerned, which will be the determining factor as far as mazik is concerned, ihu who the covered, it's completely on the husband. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, in discussing Esther having relations with Achashverosh and how was she allowed to do that, the Gemara says Esther Karka Oilam. She didn't really do anything, but as from Kiveger, not at the Gemara saying that the Aveira of Arias is not what you did. The Aveira is the pleasure. So even if she didn't do anything, she should be chayif for the Hanor. So the Shoyl Meshev answers Rabbi Kiveger's question. Since Esther obviously did not want to have relations with Achashverosh, so she didn't have Hanor. And therefore, since she didn't have any Hanor, that's what the Gemara means to say when the Gemara says Esther Karka Oilam. But the Gemara means to say, by saying Esther Karka Oilam, is another way of saying that Esther really did not want to have this happen to her. She didn't have any Hanor. And therefore, even though by Arias, the Aveir is the Hanor, in this case, she actually had no Hanor. So the Gemara Maskana is that Hezek and Aveira don't travel together. And when we speak about Hezek, the husband who hurt the wife during Bia will be held responsible. However, we know that when a person does damage, unlike when an animal does damage, as we learned and will learn very often, a person is chayiv nezek tzar, ripui shevus, and boishes. And the question is, if a husband harmed his wife during the act of Bia, will there be all of these obligations or just nezek? The Miri says that there'll be chayiv nezek tzar, ripui, and shevus. The Miri agrees that there is no boishes, but there will be nezek tzar, ripui, and shevus. Says the Nemuk Yosef, nezek, as our Gemara just finished saying, there will be such an obligation. Ripui, a husband anyway has to take care if his wife gets sick or hurt to have her pay for the doctor bills. As far as Shevis is concerned, unemployment, he says he's not entitled because a wife has to give over her earnings to her husband. And Tsar, he says there wouldn't be a payment because even though, unfortunately, as we're learning, he hurt her during this act, but even though he hurt her during this act, he didn't intend to hurt her. And the Nemuka Yosef says there is no payment for Tsar when there was no intention to hurt her. The Shemesh Shmuel quotes his father after learning this Gemara. He says, the pasuk says by Shabbos, Lasis es Shabbos. And the question is, what does it mean, Lasses as a Shabbos. How do we, what do we make Shabbos? So the Shemesh Shmuel says that just like we're learning in this Gemara, that the Aveira of Erva, or the Aveira of Machos Asuris, is that you had pleasure. The mitzvah of Shabbos is Lasses as Shabbos, to have Hanor from Shabbos. That's what's meant by Lasses as Shabbos. The Shemesh Shmuel also says that the Pasuk says when Paroi told the Meyaldas Avrius, Yochevra Miriam, to kill all the Jewish boys, and they of course refused, the Pasuk says, V'yomer aleim melch Mitzrayim, ma dua asisim asadov azeh v'techiyona asiyolodim. So the question is, what does the Pasuk say, ma dua asisim asadov azeh? They didn't do something. They didn't kill the children. Why does the Pasuk say, as asisim my son? So some want to suggest that asisim my son is, as Rashi says, that they not only did not kill the Jewish boys, they actually supported the Jewish boys. So asisim my son means that not only did you disobey me by not killing them, you actually supported them. But many suggest that how would Paroi have known that that's what happened? So he says that what Paroi was saying to them, that not only do I see that you disobeyed what I said, but asis, my son, I see that you enjoyed doing that. And that's what particularly bothered Paroi. Here I told you to kill the Jewish children, and we're learning now that lasois means having hanor. How could you enjoy doing something which I explicitly told you not to do? So we learned in the Mishnah that Hayabal Kolarishin, that if the person carrying the beam was walking first in front, and the person carrying the pitcher was walking behind him, and the halacha is that if the person carrying the pitcher banged into the person carrying the beam and his beam and his pitcher broke, the person carrying the beam will not be held responsible. However, if the person who was carrying the beam stopped suddenly, so that changes the halacha entirely. Because since he stopped suddenly, why is the person walking behind not going to have any claim? Because he should have been watching what's going on. But if the person stopped suddenly, he couldn't be held responsible. So the question, of course, that comes up when we speak about this case is, what's happening if somebody is driving a vehicle and the person who's driving the vehicle stops suddenly? What will be the halacha? Where because he stopped suddenly, he made a short stop. That's why the person behind him banged into him. And not only is that what happened, it actually caused a chain reaction. So what will be the halacha? So the Paiskim suggest that it really depends on what is the situation. Again, we've said in a previous year in discussing the Shaila that it really depends on in secular law, and in secular law, apparently the halacha is, and here we follow the Minhag HaMedina, the person in the second vehicle will always be held responsible. But actually, if we want to follow the halacha based on our Mishnah, it's really dependent on how was the first person driving and the second person driving. If there was a proper distance between the first person and the second person, and the only reason the second person went into the first person, was because there was a sudden stop, which he had no way of anticipating, then the first person would be held responsible. Only in a case where there wasn't proper distance, and then the second person is held responsible, then the halacha will be that the second person will be responsible for not having kept this proper distance. Which opens up Another question. What happens if somebody was driving, not properly driving past the speed? And what happened was he lost control of his car. He was driving in such a fashion when losing the control of the car on a two-way street, he drove into the opposite lane, the oncoming traffic. There was a person who was driving his car in that opposite lane, saw how this person is about, chas v'shalom, to go right into him, so he veered away, and by veering away, he did damage to a car that was parked on the street. So the Sefer Mishpatei Torah says that if this person who veered away because he saw what happened, and he had, so he makes a very important point. If he could have been care, if he could have not gotten, could have not gotten hit without going into the car that was parked alongside, then he will be held responsible. But if there was no way that he could veer away without causing this accident, then the person who went into the wrong lane, he will be held responsible. Because he was the one that created this danger. What will be the halacha if that person who caused the damage is not here, runs away, or doesn't have the ability to pay? So then the Paiskim suggests that the person who went into the car is not completely innocent. And because he's not completely innocent, the halacha will tell us that he will be held responsible if we can't go back, if we can't go back to the first, to the first, to the first driver. So again, says the Mishnah, Haibal Kolarishin, if the person carrying the beam was walking in front, the person carrying the pitcher was behind him, and they had an altercation, the halacha is that the person carrying the beam will not be held responsible. Amar Reish Lakish, to which Reish Lakish comments, Shtei Poros, two cows belonging to two different people that are under Shus HaRabim. Achas Ravutza, one is sitting, Vachas Malachas, and one is walking there. Bata Malachas, the one that's walking kicked the one that's sitting, Ptura, because the animal has no right to be sitting in the Rosh HaRabim. And the halacha is, as we learned previously in a Masechta, Kol HaMashana, if somebody did something that's a shinui, that's not the way it should be done, or Bo'ach V'shinaba, and then another person did something, the second animal, then Potter. But Revutza Ba'Malachas, if the animal that's sitting kicks the animal that's walking, then the halacha is his chayeves. Says the Gemara, Lema Masayle. So the Gemara says that we could bring a raya to this psak of Reish Lakish from our Mishnah. The Mishnah just taught us, Hay Baal Kol Rishon, if the person carrying the beam was walking first, or Baal Chavis Achron, and the pitcher behind him, the Nishma Chavis Bekaira Potter, Vim Amad Baal Kaira, but if the person standing with the pitch, with the beam stops suddenly, which the person behind them had no way of anticipating, this chayiv. Says the Mar, let's analyze this case. V'acha, the kervutzim malachas tami. In this case, the person that stopped with the beam, we should look at him like the person, like the cow that's sitting on the floor, and which is not to be expected. You're driving, why did you stop? And the person who went behind, and the person behind him who got damaged because of him, he'll have to pay. So we see that the Revutza had an altercation with the Malachas, and the Revutza is Chayiv. Says the Gemara, V'tizbar HaSaibayi, says the Gemara, is this a good Raya? The Loi Messiah, it's not only that our Mishnah is not a proof to Reish Lakish's halacha, and actually suggest the Gemara Mekshin Namikasha. It's a source of Akasha. What do we see? Tam of the Bata. The only reason when the sitting animal kicks the animal that's walking is he chai because he actually kicked her. But if the sitting animal would have just sat there and the animal that's walking fell over it, potter. And that's the case of our Mishnah. The person with the beam up front didn't do anything, he just stopped. But Rish Lakish seems to say only if the sitting animal kicked would it be chayiv. The person up front with the beam didn't do anything active. Says the Gemara, the case of our Mishnah is speaking about, as we spoke about in our previous year, our Mishnah is speaking about where the person with the beam is blocking the entire Rosh Hashanah. Since he's blocking the entire Rosh Hashanah, so there's no other option for the Baal HaChavos. But in the case where the animal just sat itself down in the Rosh Hashanah, the Rava Bechad Gisa, it stopped in a certain spot, and the other animal could have walked around it. And that's why in this case, that the halacha is that only if the sitting animal actually kicks, that's when he'll be chayiv. But if he won't kick, then he won't be chayiv because he could have avoided the problem. Says the Gemara, however, perhaps Seif in Mesnissen, Mesaili Rish Lakish, the Seif of our Mishnah supports Rish Lakish Talocha. The Tani, what do we learn in the Seif? Hoy Baal Chavis Rishon, Baal Kara Akron, if the person carrying the pitcher is walking up front, and the person with the beam is behind, the Nishbar Chavis Bekaira, Chayiv. Because we assume, as we learned when we learned the Mishnah, that the person carrying the beam walked too quickly. Vim Ahmed Baal Chavis, but if the person with the pitcher stopped, and that's why the person walking with the beam went into him, then the person with the beam will be potter. Now, let's think this case through. The person walking with the beam had an altercation with the person who stopped with the pitcher, Viktani Potter. So this is like the para malachis, which is kicking the para haravutza. And we see that just like Rish Lakish says, that the para hamalachas kicks the para ravutza, you potter, here too, you'll be potter. Answers the Gemara, Masnis, it's not a raya. Masnis the korach kamaski. Our Mishnah is speaking about that they're walking normally. And therefore, if you stop, the person up front stopped, he did something wrong. Hoch amalei, ned islach l'shkuy l'shkuy l'vi. Yes, you have a right to walk here. And my animal had no right to park itself here. However, levuti, that your animal should kick my animal, less like rishusa. You have no right. And therefore, you can't compare, suggest the Gemara, the two situations. It says the Mishnah, Shnayim Shayim Alchem Rishus Rabbim, two are walking Rishus Rabbim, Echad Rots, one is running, Vechad Mahalach, and one is walking. Oshir Shnayim Rots, they're both running, Veziku Zuazu, and they did damage to each other. The halacha is that shnei p'turim, they're both exempt. So the Mefarshim spake that when the ziku zuzu, it's not only in the case of the sefer where they're running, but even in the case when they're walking, since they're both the same, they're both walking or both running, the halacha is that they're potter. Why, when they're both running, are they both potter? So the Shita Mekubetzes says that since they both did something which they shouldn't be doing, they both should not be running in the Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, so to speak, we can't blame one more than the other. And since we cannot blame one more than the other, they're both potter. So ask the Brisker Rav, why don't we say Adam Mu'ud L'Olam? So he says that, what is the reason that Adam Mu'ud L'Olam? The reason Adam Mu'ud L'Olam is a person should always be careful not to cause damage. So when is there an obligation that I should watch, that I should not be the cause of damage? Is that when the other person is acting in a proper manner. So my obligation is that since that I have to watch not to do damage, included in watching to not do damage means that I should make sure that everything I do should prevent anybody from getting hurt. But here, where the other person is not acting in a responsible manner, says the Brisker Rav, it lessens my responsibility as well. Says the Gemara, Masnisin D'lo Kisa Ben Yehuda. Says the Gemara suggests that our Mishnah says that when somebody is running and somebody else is walking, then the person who's running should not be held responsible. Z'lo Kisa Ben Yehuda, the Tanya Isa Ben Yehuda Omer, Rotz Chayiv, the person who ran is Chayiv, Neshu Mishunah, he did what's not supposed to be. However, Maidi Isi, Isi will agree be Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos, Friday afternoon, Shupotter. Nay, Shirotz Barashos. Friday afternoon, everybody's running to prepare for Shabbos, and therefore, it's not considered that he did the wrong thing. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Kisi Ben Yehuda. So the Rosh says, the Mishnah says, that he ran to prepare for Shabbos. So, Isi speaks about Bein HaShemashos, but says the Rosh, it doesn't necessarily mean Bein HaShemashos. It means that any time from when people are preparing for Shabbos. Moreover, there's a very big machlokes Rishonim. Al Gemara is saying that Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to run. What does that mean that you're allowed to run for an Erev Shabbos? Doesn't mean that only if you're running to do something in preparation for Shabbos. Or does it mean that since on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to run, so even if this specific individual is not running L'Tzairuch Shabbos, but since this is a time that people are allowed to run, therefore even the person who's running not L'Kovet Shabbos, the halacha will be held exempt. And what's the basis of the machloikus? Which is a machloikus, the Ramah says that it's only for somebody who's running L'Kovet Shabbos. The Rambam says that it applies to everybody. Why? So there's two ways of understanding the opinion that says, the opinion that says it's only for Kovet Shabbos is very easy to understand. That, explained the Rishonim, is that he has a heter to run, but only L'Kovet Shabbos. The other opinion holds that a person Erev Shabbos, whatever he's doing is L'Kovet Shabbos, because he has to get ready for Shabbos. That's one opinion. That's one way of understanding the opinion. The other way of understanding the opinion is that since I know that Erev Shabbos that people are running, so I don't know why people are running, but I know that this is a time that people are running. Since I know that this is a time the people are running, therefore the halacha is that even if this specific individual is not running L'Kovet Shabbos, it wouldn't make a difference. Another important point that the Trumas Hadesha makes based on this Gemara, that the same halacha applies on Purim. Since on Purim people get a little wild, so the halacha is that if somebody did damage under those circumstances, he would not be chayiv. But says the Bach, a very important point, that even though, as we just said, the Trumas Hadesha says, on Purim, people get a little wild and will not be held responsible, says that that's only for minor damages, but not for major damages. There's also another interesting machlokes. What does it mean, specifically according to the opinions that we just cited, that you're only allowed to run for Kovet Shabbos? Does running for Kovet Shabbos means, like we've been learning, to do things in preparation for Shabbos? But what would be the halacha if somebody is running because he wants to get to shul? Will that also be considered a running that may be done ahead of Shabbos? Or is only what you do will cover Shabbos, not go to shul? Ask the Gemara. Omiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, is this indeed Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Like Yisi ben Yehuda, Avam Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'stam Mishnah. We always pass like a Stam Mishnah. And we just learned in our Mishnah, V'tanan Echa Rotz V'Echa Mechalich Oishay Shneim Rotzim Peturim. So we see that you're always allowed to run in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, not just Erev Shabbos. Answers, the Gemara Masnissim B'Erev Shabbos B'Ein HaShemashos. Actually, our Mishnah is speaking about Erev Shabbos B'Ein HaShemashos. Ask the Gemara, Memai, how do we know that is, what makes you say that our Mishnah is speaking about Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos? Says the Gemara, Midiktani Shishneim Rotzim Baturim. So the Gemara Hasu Limali. Hashta, if in the case for Echer Rotz V'Echer Mahalach, when one is walking and one is running, the Mishnah says Potter, Shneim Rotzim, if they're both running, Mibayi, says the Gemara Hachakamah. This is the way we have to understand the words of our Mishnah. Echer Rotz V'Echer Mahalach Potter, if one is running and one is walking, the Potter, when is that the case? B'mad V'Mamurim, the Ve'er Shabbos Ben Hashmashus, where the person who's running had every right to run. However, Abachol, during the week, Echad Rotz V'Echad Mahalach, if one is running, which he shouldn't be running, and one is walking, Chayiv. And then in the case of Shneim Rotzim, if they're both Rotzim, so they're both, as we explained the Mishnah, doing what's unusual, therefore they're both Pturim. Amamar, Moide Isi Be'er Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, but Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmash Shepater, as we just explained, Neshe Rotz B'Rishus, you have a right to run on Erev Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Be'er Shabbos, my B'Rishus Ika, what does that mean? It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanina, Boiv Neitze L'Kras Shabbos Malkasoi, we should go out to greet Shabbos. V'Amre L'Kras Kala Malkasoi, we should go out to greet the Kala of Shabbos. And therefore, V'Aimer, Boi Kala, Boi Kala. So we see from them that they would go out to greet Shabbos, and just like they would go out to greet the special guest called Shabbos, they will need to do whatever is needed to be done to prepare for Shabbos. So Maral explains, why is Shabbos called Kala Malkasa? There are two elements in Shabbos. Shabbos is a day that has Kedusha from itself, like a Kala, and it also has Kedusha because it's different than everyone else. Just like a Melech or Malkasa is separate and different than everyone else. They also explain, the Mashal explains, that it's called the Malkasa because the Gemara says that all the days of the week came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, L'kulan yesh lam ben zug, everybody has a pair, besides Shabbos. And Hashem says that I am your pair. So if Shabbos, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malkim Malachim, Shabbos and the king, so the Shabbos is the queen. And that's why the Shabbos is called Shabbos Malkasa. The Gemara, here the question is that he used to tell his Talmidim, let's go out to greet Shabbos. And the halacha is just like going out to greet the kala. So just like the halacha we learned in Masechet Ksubos, is that a kala, when we say Shabbos brachos, there should be a minyan. That's why there should be a minyan for Kabbalah Shabbos. This is also the source of a minyan, because it said, the Gemara says he would be Masatef. So there's a question, what does Masatef mean? Some say Masatef means we're putting on nice clothing, and some suggest Masatef means putting on a talus, and some, and therefore have a minig in different communities, the Rav, or even the entire Kehillah, some places, put on clothing, put on a talus, covered Kabbalah Shabbos. Moreover, this is the Makar, the source for many people when they go out to greet Shabbos, when they sing L'chadoidi, they dance. Because just like when we go out to greet the Kala, we dance, so too should we dance in the greeting the Shabbos. How many times should be Boi Kala said? There's some say it should be said seven times. Some places say that say twice. Others say to say seven times. And others say it should be said three times. The Chidah says it should be said three times. Twice it should be said out loud, and once it should be said quietly. Different minhagim on how we go out to greet the Shabbos. The Gemara says that psi gasa, if somebody takes big steps, they tell us echem mechamesh meis mimar einav shel adam. It causes that he should lose one 500th of his eyes, of his vision. Maitakante, this is a Gemara Masech the Brachos, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Lahadri B'Kiddush D'Beis Shamshei, where he drinks the Kiddush that he makes Friday night. Why are we so concerned about the eyesight that one loses by running, that we should have it repaired with the Kiddush that we say Friday night? So the Mefarshim point out, because we just finished learning the Gemara, that we're busy running on Friday night. Since we're busy running on Friday night, so we have to fix the running, because we're going to lose our eyesight. And therefore, how are we able to repair our eyesight? The way we're able to repair our eyesight is by making Kiddush, and we need to be concerned about our eyesight, because on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara just said that we're allowed to run, and that running causes us to lose our eyesight. The Shalah brings down that the minig, in many communities, there's a very big question: what is the proper way of saying Kiddush, sitting or standing? They're different minhagim. And the Shalah says the minig is to sit, to stand when we say Kiddush, even though there's strong reason to believe that sitting might be preferable. But the reason we stand, because as we just learned, when one recites the Kiddush, he's actually greeting the Kala. And just like the minig is, that when the Kala comes to the Chuppah, everybody stands up to greet her, it's appropriate that by the Kiddush, we should stand up. And we're learning now, that is another time that we're actually greeting the Kala. And since it's another time that we greet the Kala, you greet the Kala as you are standing. It says the Mishnah Mevakeh Rishus Rabim, if somebody is chopping wood in the Rishus Rabim, the Hizik Rishus Yochid, and a piece of wood flew from the Rishus Rabim to the Rishus Yochid, or vice versa, he was chopping wood in the Rishus Yochid, and a piece of wood, Hizik Rishus Rabim, flew into the Rishus Rabim, Rishus Yochid, it flew from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. And all of these cases, says the Mishnah, Chayiv, the person who chopping the wood, will be held responsible. And says the Gemara V'tzricha, why was it necessary to speak about all three of these examples? Says the Gemara Yivtana, if we only had learned Avak Rishus HaYochid V'sig Rishus HaRabim, that you were chopping the Rishus HaYochid and it flew into the Rishus HaRabim, Rishun the Shechichi Rabim, you should be paying attention that there are rabbim there and you could do damage. But if you're chopping wood in the Rishus Rabim and it flies into the Rishus HaYochid, where maybe you should not be concerned, because lo shechichi rabim, there aren't that many people there, emaloi, maybe you shouldn't be held responsible. V'tar Rishus Rabim Rishus HaYochid, b'shem dikarosh lo b'rishus ovid, you had no right to chop wood in the Rishus Rabim. Av Rishus HaYochid, if you're chopping wood in your own Rishus HaYochid, and it flies into Rishus Rabim, the Rishus of it, that you had every right to chop wood in your property, Emeloi, you should not be held responsible. So our Mishnah tells us you're responsible. If we had these two cases, since you've chopped wood into a place where many people are, therefore you're considered a Plesheya. Ha, Mishum Shleb Rishus, you had no right to chop wood in the Rishus Rabim. Av Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid Acher, where none of these considerations are existent. I'm a loy, maybe the loy shchich rabim, there aren't many people there, and you were chopping in your own rishus, the mikar rishus, you were doing it where you have a right to chop. I'm a loy, you should not be held responsible. That's why it's shchicha. And of course, the Nemukah Yosef points out, so we should have had only the third case, and we wouldn't need the first two cases. So the Nemukah Yosef suggests that it's a fair question, but many times that's the derech of the Gemara. The derech of the Gemara, he says, many times is to say the first two cases, even though the third case would be sufficient. Says the Gemara, v'tzricha, and was necessary. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, hanitz l'chanusa shal nagi shlo b'rishus. If somebody walks into a carpenter's shop without permission, v'nitza b'kas, and a piece of wood flies, v'tavcha aponav, and it flies onto this person who walked in his face. Umason, he passes away, potter, then it's not considered that he's a murderer, that should be chayiv golos. Nichnas b'rishus, but if he had permission to go in there, then he's chayiv. Says the Gemara, what does that mean that he's chayiv? on Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, chai b'dal dvorim. His chai is in nezek tzar ripui shavis. But potem igolus, l'fish ein doima liyar. It's not the Torah when it speaks about golus, as we mentioned earlier in our shir, speaks about entering a forest. When you enter a forest, the forest belongs to everyone. Here, it's not the same. He walked in to the property of Chaveroi. It wasn't the Yar. And since it wasn't the Yar, it's not the same. Amar Rava, on the contrary. Both walked in and they didn't have any connection. Nasa commission Nicholas Das Chaveroi. The Torah still considers it as if I walked into my friend's property and he chayev golus. Zesh Ladas Chaveroi Nicholas. If somebody walks into his store, so he has an obligation to make sure that anyone who enters the store would not be hurt. Like Koshkein, Ela Marava Mai Potter, the golus. Why is there no chayev golus? Not because he's so innocent. It's insufficient that this person should have golus. Vanatama, the Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Rabbi Yosef Chanina. Why the Rabbi Yosef Chanina say there is no golus? Because this is shogi karv lemezid. And where is the chiv golus? Only by shogi, not by a shogi which is karv lemezid. Masav Rava. As Rav, the Mishnah in Masech, the Makas, Tavchav, Beis, or Bebeis, speaks about a person who gets Malkus. And Beis Din is supposed to assess, we know the Torah says he's supposed to get 39 Makas, but Beis Din assesses how many Makas this person is able to withstand. And says the Mishnah, Hoysev L'Ritzua Achas, if the person who's giving out the Makas gave him one extra mace, and therefore he passed away, Hareza Golo Yodai. Then the person who did the makis will go to golus. Ask the Gemara for hachal. The shogi karv lemezid. The person who's giving the makis is not just the shogi; he's karv lemezid. The boy is suki adate. He should have been thinking the ma'isa inish b'chad ritzua, that this extra makis could cause the victim to die. The tana, and yet we learned to raise a goyla. Answers the Gemara. Amar of Simon Adar the toy bin yonai. He made a simple mistake. He lost count. Says the Gemara, Tafakle Rava Besandle. So Rava hit Rav Simei with his sandal. Amalei Ata Humani, does the person who gives out the Makis count for Tanya? The Brisa explains, the Brisa teaches us, what was the procedure by giving Makis? God Lush B'yonim Kairi, he says, he reads the Pasuk of Hifal Hashem Makasecha, the most prominent member of the Bezdin. Hasheni, the second Dayan, counts. Shlishi, and the third person after each count says, Hakeyu. Elamar of Simon Ador, the Tiyana Dayuna Gufe. Indeed, it wasn't the person who gave the Makis that made the mistake, the Dai made the mistake. Ask the Gemara. Meisve, the Mishnah Masech the Makis, that Chesam and Alf teaches us. Hazarik Evan Lushus Rabbim. Somebody throws a stone into Lushus Rabbim for Harig, and somebody got killed by Shogig, Hareza Goyla. Ask the Gemara, for Hakeyu, isn't this a situation? The shogi karv lemezid hu. The boyle lefuke adate. This person should have considered the reshus rabbim shlichi inchi that there are people walking there, and therefore if I throw a stone, the person will die. And yet so why is that not shogi karv lemezid? Yet it says goyla. Says the Gemara on Rav Shmuel, it's not talking where he threw a stone. The soisus koisloi. He's dismantling his wall. So still says the Gemara. I boyle leyuna. Shouldn't he pay attention? Says the Gemara, besoisa belaila. At night, says the Gemara, belaila nami ailu yuni. Shouldn't you pay attention what's going on? Says the Gemara, besoisa koisla beyoim. And he's doing it la'ashba to a garbage dump. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Hai ashba hechidami. Either shkechi rabbim, if there are many people walking there, if you dismantle your wall to such a place, you're amazed. V'yishloi shkechi rabbim, and nobody walks there, then you're honest. Amra popolo tzricha el ashba esui leponis. It's a place where people go to the bathroom. Belaila, only at night. Vein esui leponis b'yoyim, but they don't go there by night. Ikka demos of Yosef. Some people still use it by day. Mezloi hava, It's not meant to be used by day. However, honest namalai hava, because the ikra the mikra yasa, some people sit there. So we spoke now about somebody who walked into the carpenter's store with permission, that the halacha is that the Rabbi Yosef Lechanina says you have to pay damages, but there's no galus because it's shogi karav lemezit. Says the Gemara, Papa Mishmei the Rav Masna la'Reisha. He said that Rabbi Yosef Lechanina is speaking about the Reisha of the Braisa. What did it say? Hanichnas lechanusa shel chanagi shloi brishos. You walked in without permission. V'nitzlai bekas, and a piece of wood flew. The nafchal upon of a mace potter. On Rabbi Yosef Lechanina, ha'chayiv ba'arav dvarim, a potter megolus. Then, even in that case, the carpenter would not have goals. Mandamas and Leah Sefer, if the one says in the Sefer, where you went there with permission, Rabbi Yosef says that there's no goals, certainly in the Reisha, where you had no right to go in there, there won't be goals. Mandamas and Leah Reisha, because the person who had walked in had no permission to go in there. Avla Sefer, Kivin the Rishus, Chayiv Golus. But ask the Gemara, why would there be a Chayiv Golus? Doesn't the Braisa say, if somebody walks into the store of a blacksmith, the nits and the toitzes, and sparks fly, the tifcha aponov, and they fly onto the victim, potter, the fila nitzis brishus, so why is there a difference between the blacksmith and the carpenter? Says the Gemara, hachimai skinen, b'shul yud nefchi. The person who walked in there was the apprentice of the blacksmith. Ask the Gemara, just because he's this apprentice, show you the nafkala miktal koi, he deserves to die. Says the Gemara, Shrab Masar by Lotzeis, his teacher, the blacksmith, told him, leave, Veni Yoitza. Says the Gemara, Mishum the Rabbi Masar by Lotzeis. So he told him, leave, and he didn't. Lamiktal koi, he's chayiv misa. So the Gemara is talking about Ksavi Yotza, that he thought that he left. Says that the case where somebody was asked to leave and he didn't leave and the person thought that he left, so why is it strictly the apprentice? Achanami, anybody. Acha, says the Gemara, let's lay the amps to the rabbi. The blacksmith told somebody to leave, but that person is not his apprentice. Since he's not his apprentice, he doesn't have any reason to believe that he walked necessarily to walk out, and he has to make sure he walked out. Hi, Islay Emsa the Rabbi. And therefore, the blacksmith assumed that if I told you to leave, you left. And therefore, if he didn't leave, he will not be held responsible to the degree that it should be Chayiv Golos.